Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our village board meeting tonight. Would you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can you hear me okay? Hi, Clarence.
Oh my gosh, it's good to see you back.
Lynn said it's good to have you back, Clarence.
Thank you. Put my mic down.
We will call our meeting to order. Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrich's excused. Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Sampson.
Here.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to modify or adopt the agenda?
Move to approve.
Trustee Atwood, seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Do we have any announcements from board members? Any from staff? I have one. This coming Thursday, November 21st, at St. Matt's Church at 6 p.m., there will be a conversation about the Green Bay Correctional Institution. It is being sponsored by the group Joshua. They are going to have speakers from the Wisdom Organization, Ex-Incarcerated Persons Organization, and Expo Community Organizer. They'll also most likely have some legislators there, but it's all about closing the prison and their support for closing the prison, and we encourage you all to be there once again. That's a conversation about the Green Bay Correctional Institution hosted by Joshua at St. Matt's Church this Thursday, November 21st at 6 p.m. Any other announcements? Hearing none, we will move on to agenda item number 4, the 2020 budget hearing. Is there anyone in the audience here tonight who would like to speak on the budget? Mr. Matuzak.
Yes, what?
Come on up.
Take me a minute.
Take your time.
I do really have that. I mean, that's two words.
Do you need help with anything?
No, I was prepared and this thing wasn't working, so I didn't have it in my pocket.
Oh, okay. No, it's not.
Anyhow, as I told our village president, I showed up ready to let you know I'm still alive.
It's a good thing.
We're glad to see that.
Also, I ran out of brain this afternoon, so I have to try and read my own writing. Seems to be okay for me, except for a few minor items which you'll address.
Okay.
And one is kind of budget related, which is item 7, and I ask your indulgence to hear me on that, but with these comments. All right, first of all, I've asked the board to continue to monitor the debt and kind of limit it as much as possible, because it got up there a little further again, and hopefully there's not too much forthcoming in the near future. I still have a problem with the bus diversity. Continue under the lack of better expression is the youth works with the schoolies. And we were subsidizing. I remember last year, 2 years ago, when the director of the bus transportation of damage and the cost to ride was like three or four times the cost of a ride. I don't know what you could do about it. It was wrong. I don't know if that's the answer. But I hope we did continue to look at that. The one item that you want to address or not, but it appears to me that if you went to a part-time, I guess, code enforcement officer and the building inspector very part-time too, I think, right?
The building inspector?
Yeah, or was that full-time?
He was part-time, but he is now
split.
He's split between
cross-connection.
Well, I'm just saying, Barbara, I look at the combined cost, it seems quite high for those services. Consider, yeah, we don't have that much ability.
Okay.
I have a problem with the contingency fund as being too low and not realistic, and my recommendation is either take it out or increase it. Because you wind up going to the general fund surplus anyhow, so what's the difference at least to, you know, because this year you've used more than you allocated last year, you did the year before, and 15, I think it was 50 or 30,000, that's not enough for the contingency fund.
Okay.
That's why I was found the budget directly on that item 7, which is related to the budget. It's for the costs are incorporated in there. Animal licenses. Does anybody in the room here besides me know why we have dog licenses? You know?
It's to help with the control of rabies.
For the control of rabies. So you can track and quarantine, making sure animals are vaccinated.
All right. Or you disagree with you, unless they change law. It was an archaic law that was in place to provide county with funds to reimburse ranchers for damage and farmers for damage to cattle. So.
We've evolved.
Right?
We have evolved.
Yeah, well, what does this do there for now then? This is the source of revenue? Which leads me to the one on cats. I would ask Debbie and Julie, they can research this. The board adopted an ordinance in 1992, just before I retired, which I objected to license cats. It turned out, I think, that we provided revenue somewhere between $60 and $100. You how's your memory, Debbie?
That's correct.
So what's the purpose of having it? We have a cat. The cat has been out for 3 minutes in 10 and a half years when he got out once. So it looks just attempt as a revenue producer. It's not going to work. Again, I was very thought. First time, I'll be very interested to do it. This has to do with this curiosity. I didn't get a time to see Julie. I could have these questions answered by her, but this is my opportunity. And the open street cut charge, is that to recover village costs?
Yes. Street excavation.
It costs that much for those to be sort of recover?
Yes.
Okay. I have a problem with the charge for early cane brushes already. First, the village eliminated daily pickup. I mean, a weekly pickup. Then they come along and start enforcing if you're brushes off through with a 200 fee, which is excessive and unreasonable, I think. Secondly, there's no provision that I can see there. If you have a major storm, we have major damage, And in practice, I think we actually go out and pick them up right away.
Mm-hmm. In practice, we have gone out after a big storm and do a special pickup.
Yeah, so yep. I think we should address that somehow or the other. That's it, because you know, you say one thing on one hand and do the other thing on the other hand.
Good point.
Okay. In fact, this is really a bunch of agenda item. I think we have bigger aesthetic concerns in the notice besides brush being orderly. And from a personal viewpoint, parking trailers and side yard, which was there for a purpose, it's on code, I think that's more objectionable than brush.
Okay.
Find a question that we attempted to use fees as a profit source rather than a method of cost recovery. And I think the brush one in particular, it appears that way very much so. And that's all I have to say. Unless you have any questions of me.
When are you coming back?
I don't know. Feels pretty good after coming.
Anyone have any questions for Mr. Matuza? Clarence, as always, thank you very much for taking the time to read the budget and come and give us your opinion.
But this shows that I have confidence in your staff, which I think are great, and the board, as I said before, the player complimenting you, which you're doing a good job.
Well, thank you. I will say, this is the first time since I've been on the board that you haven't told us to cut consulting costs.
I already discussed that with
you.
And he told me I take him at his word.
Yep.
Already reduced him. So.
Yep, he has.
So it may be some progress there as well.
Okay.
I'll see if you want to have something to it. Anyway, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Clarence. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on the budget? Second time, anyone else? Third and last, gone. We'll close the hearing. And we will pick up. We're going to reopen the hearing.
That fee shake, I'm suggesting that you table it so you look at it a little closer. And
okay.
Provide more background information if you want.
Very good. Thank you. Where are we? Item number 5, action regarding the adoption of the 2020 budget. Julie, would you like to give us a brief overview?
I would love to. Brad's going to drive for me here. I kind of wanted to go back to the worksheet we looked at when we had our budget workshop session. And that top section under the general fund there, that's showing some of the adjustments that the staff made before we even got it to the board. We also had to make adjustments to meet what's called the expenditure restraint aid, and that's based on general fund expenditures and then all the levies in our other funds. So in red there you can see where we removed the LeBron attendance, and then we also cut the equipment replacement fund charges within the general fund so that we could meet the expenditure restraint program. We subsequently also had an adjustment to increase the general transportation aids by $24,500, and there was a reduction in interest income. That brings us to an adjusted general fund levy of $5,146,709. Public bus is up $7,000. We're still using $10,000 of that fund balance. Compensated absences reserved, that's it at the 10, and you can see the debt service went up. $53,000. So that brings us to the levy excluding the TIF, the 6505 there. If you go down a little bit lower there, Brad, and that next section in gray, we're taking and calculating the tax increment levy of 207,893. So we've basically got the village operating budget, and then we've got this operating, it's general, it's got debt service in there too. Then we have to add this tax increment levy. And when we divide that by the assessed value, we come up with our tax rate of 7.356, which is an increase over the prior year. And I also wanted to show you the assessment ratio there. That's at that 86%. That's when it's looking at assessed value versus equalized value. And if we had been, if our assessed value had been equalized, tax rate would have calculated up to 6.349 instead of that 7.356. But we use the assessed value, so it comes down to, on a $150,000 home, we're looking at a $21 increase. If you want to go to the next, the one B there. Got some of the historical tax rates we've had for the last few years. And you can see we gave that study at 722. We get a 721. We're at a 7.356. So that's kind of how we ended the budget workshop. Since that budget workshop, I've got some other adjustments I'd like to present for the budget, the final budget. If you go to 2A, the TID there, yeah. The preliminary calculations, I did not have the levies from the school districts or the county. So the initial calculation, which I am trying to get my hands on here.
Excuse me, Brad, can you make that larger? Thank you.
The initial calculation I had as a holding place was like 677,750. The tax increment is now calculating at 692,949. Okay, our levy share stayed the same, that 207,893. But once the other levies came in from the other taxing jurisdictions, it's bumping up that increment. So I thought just the budget for Fund 41, which we can see on the next sheet I have in there. And I didn't have time to get these into the system, so I just hand wrote to show you how that's going to affect that budget line. So our revenues are up by $15,199. For a chip. The other adjustment I had, if you want to go to Fund 23, should be what we're talking about next. Okay. When we met with the budget hearing, we had the $120,000 we wanted to take from that excess stadium tax fund. And then we also had some projects out there that we needed to find a home for. One of which was the market adjustment we're looking at for like a revaluation. So half that cost is $40,000. If you scroll down a little bit, that's part of what's making up that 175 there.
I think you need a new operator.
Okay, so that's that $40,000. We also had concrete repair work that needs to be done at the community center. That's at $15,000 we're proposing to use from the excess stadium tax funds. The roof at the community center has been placed on hold for now. We're going to determine the direction that building's going in and what we're going to do with the roof now. Using these funds from the stadium tax account will leave us with a balance just over $5,300. So if any other monies come in next year, we'll add it to that. Otherwise, we've got that much left in those unspent excess stadium tax funds. But that's the adjustment I'll be making to Fund 23 then in the budget. The other thing we talked about was our water utility. If you go down here, this is the summary sheet, or the detail sheet actually. Okay, good there. When we projected the Central Brown County Water Authority charges, we've got $2,004,000 in there. Sean subsequently received the information, and we're not going to have an additional charge. We're actually looking at getting kind of a rebate, a true up. So 1925,780 would be the billing from the Central Brown County, and then if we get that true up, our estimated cost for 2019 will be that $1,918,433. So that's a reduction of $85,000. It's going to affect this sheet. And then if you go to the next file I have there, what I'm mainly concerned about, so that 1980 carries down to that source of supply, and then if you page down there, it's going to help with our cash flow. So it's adding to the cash flow going down like that. So rather than the 167,637 at the end of 2019, I'm looking at 253,569. That, as you can see in the 2020 column, it's going to bring that cash out of the red, you know, into a positive. But we're still proposing that we have a 3% simplified rate applied to the water utility to bring that up. And that affects it by about $104,000. Let's see if there's anything else. Yeah, I just included those. You know, the budget summary is all that detail that came in the folders if we have any questions on that. And then that budget overview is what was presented with that initial proposal. And it just kind of goes through some of the budget highlights that we talked about. So other than that, if anybody's got any questions, if they have anything to add.
Any questions? Thank you very much. I'll accept the motion on this item. Trustee Sampson.
Move to approve the 2020 budget as presented.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Sorry.
Second by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? Yes, Trustee Green.
I just have to agree with Clarence, and we did not talk about it at all, but the whole cat license thing, I think we're going to be sorely disappointed at the end of next year when it's not where we want it to be. And I would even go as far out on a limb as saying what we're trying to do is fund the spay-neuter program and release. If we really want to do that, I think we'd actually generate more revenue by simply asking for donations, putting it on our website, putting it in All About Alloway. I think we would get a lot more revenue there. So I would propose an amendment to the budget, that we pass the budget, but leaving off the cat licenses, if I have any support for that.
Is that actually part of the budget?
That's what we're looking at. I don't believe we added any revenue for that.
Yeah. We didn't. Okay. Yeah. Then I'll leave that alone here.
Okay. You'll have another opportunity to discuss that later in the meeting.
I just, it historically never made any revenue, ever. So trying to offset the cost to fund another, I just think we need more.
Okay, thank you. Trustee Harris.
I just wanted to say thank you to the complete staff, department heads throughout the entire village for what they've put together. The amount of work that's involved in trying to come up with something that is reasonable and realistic, the amount of time that you've put in helps us on the board tremendously. There are so many things that are already answered before they even get to us. You come up with things that we're going, all right, that makes perfect sense. Why didn't we think of that? So thank you. That's what it comes down to.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Trustee Sampson.
An ongoing theme is that road maintenance, road rebuilding is too expensive, and we'll pass this and hope that the bids come in a little better, that there isn't the inflation in 2020 that there was this past year. But what's the long-term side? That, you know, maybe we were waiting on the state, hoping they would do something with the statewide gas tax and there'd be more money to kick back. Some villages or cities have talked about a wheel tax. I don't sense that that's got a lot of support here. But what is the answer? And I'm thinking that maybe some year we've got to bite the bullet and find a way to pay for it out of, you know, from our living.
Good question. I think, first of all, we have to take advantage of every grant opportunity out there to help fund the repair of our streets. A perfect example of that is there's an item later on the agenda. We've been working on putting together a grant application for reconstruction of Green Avenue. Governor had come up with a $75 million grant, a one-time grant. So we're gonna submit for that grant, and hopefully we'll get some money. It's a long shot because it'll be extremely competitive. Little things that we can do. Do our best to get our projects out sooner. Our last week, Wednesday, we presented to the Public Works Committee next year's street resurfacing projects. And we started working on those today with the hope to get those advertised early in January and in the hands of contractors that are looking for work. And maybe find some other ways to maintain streets. When we come in and reconstruct the roadway, maybe we leave some of the curb and gutter in place. Now, it's definitely a challenge. Hopefully, we'll find that the prices that were witnessed to this year, hopefully, that was because of just the amount of work out there.
I'll throw out a question maybe for Brad or President Rafter. Are we keeping up, or are you hearing more from constituents that they're unhappy with the roads? You know, you're doing a great job in exploring a lot of new ways, but are we keeping up, and are we in danger of falling? If the price is against the law, does it get to a point where we're really getting behind?
Well, we could do, early next year, due by the 15th of December, our street ratings. And I could get into the Pazer software, and I could create a map that would show the ratings of every street by color, and we could take a look at that.
Do you have that already, like points in time, or you have one for every year?
Yeah, already? Yes.
Going back how many years?
Every other year. We're required to rate our roadways. We do it on a year.
We can never remember. Okay.
I think overall our roads are in very good condition. It's definitely not a challenge to find a street to resurface or to reconstruct. And our reconstruction projects are more focused on two things, the street surface and the underground utilities condition and underground utilities.
And several years ago, we started a rather aggressive reconstruction plan or streets plan. And when you see what other communities are investing in their roads, and you see what a community the size of Alloway is investing in its roads, I think we're on the leading edge of people taking care of their streets. The challenge and the scary thing is the cost keeps going up. So one thing Sean did and recommended plan for next year is one street was planned for a complete reconstruct, and he found ways and logic to say we can extend the life of the roadway by not doing complete reconstruct, but by doing a rehab. Is that what you called it?
Yep.
So I think that's something we're going to have to look at a whole lot more going into the future, especially if the costs don't come down. What can we do to extend the life of the roadway in a responsible way and drive down our costs? To Clarence's point, bonding, we bond for our roads right now, and that's a very expensive proposition. but we have to do what we have to do. Not right now, Clarence. Okay.
There's 500, roughly 500,000 in for resurfacing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you said some things that we've already done some things to prioritize in our general budget.
Yeah.
That. I want to learn more about the relative ranking.
Yeah.
And I would just say, you know, next year, does that number have to go up? Just from what I've been hearing.
I think one of the things that when they do a PACER reading, Sean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I'm just playing an engineer for the moment, but you may have a road that's, the PACER rating is poor. You know, one is the worst.
Yes.
One is the worst. And you may have another road that is a 3, so it's right in the middle, 1-5, but over the course of that winter, you had multiple water breaks. So when it was initially rated as a 3, now just dropped it to a 1, and maybe it's a road that needs to be addressed to sooner than the other PACER rating of a 1. So they do fluctuate quite a bit, and it's always a moving scale of what roads to get done in. And I think, you know, quite frankly, every resident would like their road done. You know, we would like to do every road, but obviously it's just, it's a real challenge. And winters play havoc on us, and this year could be really interesting with all the moisture in the ground. You know, what kind of a frost are we going to get? If it gets really deep, we could be in a lot of trouble.
The relative complaints where people are calling you, it's been about the same. You haven't seen a real upswing the last couple of years.
No, and you know, when you look at, as President Raptor indicated, we did over $5 million this year. That's a very aggressive. We have 56 miles of street,
yes.
8 miles of street. And, you know, if you were to, you know, we used to use $1 million a mile, well, that's nowhere near that anymore.
That's double.
Is that bonding limit being a kind of a cap on if that has helped us out in the past to stay current?
The
debt limit?
Yeah, the challenge with the bonding is if you're doing a complete reconstruction of a road, you know, it affects the water utility, the storm sewer, and if those utilities are not healthy enough to take on additional debt, then you really don't want to be, you're in a position where you can't do that. But to bond to do multiple resurfacing, we could do, and you could take care of a lot, but...
Well, you can still only get so many projects done in a year because of availability of contractors and everything.
Limited number of contractors.
And you need streets to drive on.
Yeah.
Well... And then you need the staff to oversee the work, too.
Yeah.
Now, we did hire two consultants to assist with the oversight of the construction projects this year. And we, on a non-reconstruct year, we do all that inspection in-house. We can take on a few projects, but when you have 10, you're just spread away too thin.
Good. Thank you.
To help with the funding, though?
Good questions.
New tax revenue from new developments. Thursday night, go to St. Matt's. Tell people about GBCI being closed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Any comments?
Just one other, in terms of Trustee Sampson bringing up the attention to roads, if we're at about, I had my head 54, whether it's 54, 56, 58 miles, linear miles of road, and let's say that we need to replace every 25 years, so 4% of the roads have to be replaced every single year just to keep up. So that's two and a third miles of road have to be done every year just to stay with every 25 years. So there's a lot that they're trying to, not just stay, we're all trying to juggle. to keep up.
I'll just make a comment like Trustee Harris did. Based on the most of the increase in our budget is due to things outside of our control, right? Fire protection, police protection, landfill cost, health insurance, things that are just outside of our control. The things that are done are within our control. We can thankfully say that we have a staff that has been working diligently to improve processes, reduce costs, and they have. They've done more with less. And you can only do so much of that, but they continue to do that, so I applaud you for that and thank you, because it could have been much worse, and it wasn't. So thank you. We have a motion on the floor to approve and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. We have a 2020 budget. Thank you very much for your hard work, folks. Moving on to number six, resolution 2019-25, regarding the spending of excess Green Bay Brown County professional football stadium tax district sales tax. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to adopt.
Thank you. Seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Number seven, action regarding resolution 2019-24, amending the Village of Alloway fee schedule. Do I have a motion? Or do you want to go through that real quickly? Or do I? I'll tell you what, I'll ask for a motion. We all saw the document. Trustee Green.
Move to approve with the exception of cats. Okay. And you guys heard my reasoning before. I really do think we will get a lot more money to help fund our program.
This is just the fees. We already adopted the ordinance to license them.
Yeah, I'm still not in favor of it. I'm just not.
Well, then we would
so then we would have an ordinance without a fee.
Yeah.
A license without a fee.
We can do that.
Okay.
Because I still think we would get way more. I mean, I took a straw poll of several residents. I got everything from being laughed at to, you have to be kidding me, my cat's inside, I'm not going to register it anyway, who's going to know it's there? To, and so I floated the idea of, well, this is what we're trying to do with it. What do you think about donations? And I was much more well received with that than us trying to fund a program through fees. So just putting it out there.
Okay. We adopted the ordinance at the last meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So we can revisit with a motion.
Well, this was just the fees.
Right. But what sense does it make to license the cat if we're not going to charge?
Well, what I'm hoping we do is then revisit the prior motion.
If that's your
interest. That's my end goal with this.
Okay.
How about dogs? Can we talk about this now or yet?
Oh, well, I'll tell you. Just one second. So we have an option.
Okay, we have a motion.
Right?
One.
We have one motion. But the motion would be to, well, I'll ask, do we have a second? Okay, we don't have a second. So that fits. But we can revisit a motion in the following meeting if, I believe, two trustees agree. I think it's two. But we would have to revisit the entire ordinance then. Trustee Green, is that your interest? Or?
It is, but I don't think I could be one of the two because I was a no vote on the resolution.
Oh, you were a no vote?
Okay. I was.
Okay.
I would just encourage everybody, take a straw poll of residents.
Well,
it's an interesting response.
I like the idea of having cat owners throwing into our program,
mm-hmm.
trap and release and neuter.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, to get to the result, maybe I'd like to see, is try
a donor program for a year, and if not, then maybe you slap it onto the license fee. I'm also concerned, are we exempting cats from having to have a license but keeping dogs with a license? So
and I can
if we take cats out of it, I
some historical piece there was dogs get more complaints than cats.
For our animal control.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, because we made the decision years ago to get rid of the cat license, and that was one of our bases was the dogs by far get more complaint calls, animal control issue calls, those type of things.
Which I and I know it's not a huge number. Maybe it's only 10 cats a year that get spayed and released. But that at 50, no, that's $500. So I would say maybe things have changed since then. But if I voted yes, I guess I would. I wouldn't hesitate to say, sure, I could see reconsidering. Does it need to be a motion?
Okay. It does.
I move to reconsider the ordinance.
No.
No?
We're not dealing with an ordinance right now. That you would have to bring back.
That's
yeah.
right. You're right. Okay, so we're not. So
okay.
The thing on the table is the fee.
So in order to do what Chris is suggesting, we would just have to have two of us. Let's say I'd be interested. Chris and I would talk to Debbie and it would get on the next board meeting.
Yes, most likely. Right now, what we can do, if you're so inclined, I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion to approve the resolution minus the fees for the cats.
I'll second that.
Cats and dogs?
No.
Well, you're just seconding her motion then, right? Isn't that the same motion?
She didn't actually say that, though, did she?
I thought my motion died because nobody had a second.
You said you did. You said.
And now
but you said you wanted to redo the ordinance.
I think I'd like to make a suggestion just to leave this table and we just bring it up at the next board or at the next meeting. Put it back on the meeting if we want to have more discussion about it because right now I think we've got it so confused that.
I'll second that.
Agreed.
So we have a motion to table until next meeting and a second. Any discussion?
Thank you.
Does reconsider have to be at the next board meeting?
But like this one?
Yeah.
Like it would have been at this one?
Yeah.
Why don't we just... We can still table the discussion on it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We have a motion to table in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item number 8, public comment. Is there anyone in the audience this evening who would like to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda? Clarence, come on up.
I have a local weather story of Clarence from 2680 Southwest here. Thanks for reconsidering on the cap and seeing. Particularly in Bellevue, that you know where the problems are.
I do, and I'll point out, Clarence and I did not talk prior to this, just so you all know.
A little side note. I oppose that. I also oppose to the political 25 mile per hour speed limit on Hoffman Road. And my successor spoke to the Lord, I can just envision when I retire, I can see cars driving 30 miles an hour with Joe Bean by his side on Hoffman Road. Joe Bean was a cat at that time. That's one of the reasons I came out here. Sean is one step ahead of me. I was going to suggest earlier that the board come here. This total reconstruction concept and Sean apparently is already doing that, which is great. With the history prior, they call me my bass finger.
Don't let that stop.
prior to the two previous
public works structure, our engineer at that time did not just automatically go for construction. Maybe in some instances it would have been advisable. He tried to see about two. The two last public works directors, the president of the board, that told reconstruction is more economical in the long run. It may have been in some cases that I was never thoroughly convinced that they had. And if you try to look at each one individually, even he might do piecemeal reconstruction of curb gutter, for example. Mm-hmm. In some cases, it could be underground utilities where parts of it had been reconstructed in the last year, and public work structures went ahead and did the whole thing. So I just want to mention that. I think he's right on the main track.
Thank you.
Maybe the village is lucky to hire our own metal too. We have some kind of beer. But thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Clarence.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Village of Galloway Bike Bed Committee. It was announced over at the last Public Works meeting that the planned sidewalk for St. Mary's Street will not be done in this cycle, and that there's no plans to put in the St. Mary's sidewalk. I think it's important that we point out that Mr. Raffel was wrong last time he attacked me, and he told me that I was wrong with the St. Mary's sidewalk. There always has been a plan for the St. Mary's sidewalk to build. Trying to get a copy of the plans for the St. Mary's sidewalk, and that led to a bunch of attorney's fees for the village trying to stop me from getting a copy of the engineering drawings instead of the zoning plans. So if the village has plans to put sidewalks in during road reconstruction, we know where those sidewalks are planned to be. The people should know now instead of 2 years or 3 years from now that there are plans for putting sidewalks in, both on Beaumont and on St. Mary Street and that type of thing. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on something that's not on this evening's agenda? Hearing none, we will close the public comment and move on to item number 9, action regarding ordinance 2019-10, amending section 318-383, seasonal use trailers, utility trailers, enclosed trailers, tents and camping equipment, and so on. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Harris.
Move to approve.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Green, any discussion? Just want to make sure that everyone understands this would take effect in the fall of 2020, not 2019, because people would have already had to be notified, right? So this will take place next November if it passes. Any discussion? Hearing none, we have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 10, action regarding alcohol beverage retail license request for Zambaldi Beer LLC, agent Abigail Malcolm, at 1649 South Webster Avenue. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Second.
Second by Trustee Atwood. I don't think we should do it.
It will need to pass inspection.
Okay.
Before it can be issued.
There's a caveat there. It will have to pass inspection when it's completed before we issue the liquor license. But I'd like us to reconsider. So we have a motion to approve and a second. It's been a long time coming. We thank the Malcolms for their, I thank the Malcolms for their diligence and their perseverance. It's going to be a very exciting business for the Village of Alloway.
We look forward to opening.
Yes.
And you're on schedule, so awesome. Yeah, we're very excited. February.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 11, action regarding developer's agreement with Millenaire LLC for an apartment project at 2050 Riverside Drive. Mr. Lang.
Yes, this should be the correct document. Typos, although I did see a spacing on one word. But this is a project that has been presented both to the Planning Commission and to the Village Board as a PDD, and they've received preliminary approval. There's a lot of work to be done yet, but in order to continue to move forward, a developer's agreement has been put together for the project. This is for 2050 Riverside Drive, and the intent is to raise an existing building that's on the site, an office building, and a 86-unit market-rate apartment complex will be built in this place.
On the same property or that property and the next
that
property?
That property and the adjoining property, as they own both properties.
Yep.
Part of the agreement, there's a lot of details into what needs to take place, and one of the biggest detail is the idea that the building must assess at $16 million plus per year for the next, until like 20 years or something along that line. It is in the TIF district. There is, within the agreement, an easement for Fox River Trail connection. So that was extremely important to all of us. Those details are yet to be worked out, and that will take place during the rest of the process through the PDD. So the developers will be moving forward. There's a funding mechanism that they need to complete, proof of financing before anything has taken place. So there is a lot of checks and balances within this developer's agreement.
Great. And to our discussion earlier, that would generate about $120,000 in just alloy tax revenue a year.
Correct.
Which is would help go a long way. What else about that agreement? Well, any questions? So I think it's very exciting news. I will accept the motion on this item. Trustee Harris.
We move to approve the developer's agreement.
Thank you.
Second.
Second by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? Once again, say I'm very excited. It's great to see local business people wanting to invest in Alloway. I think the interest continues to grow, and looking forward to having a very nice property along the river.
Quick question.
Yes.
Well, what's the timetable for the PDD process, assuming the developers move forward as fast as they hope to? When would the village get involved with a PDD? I would think that the
ballpark
with the next probably 4 to 6 months that we'll have the renderings and more detail, because that's where they're at in the process, that it becomes more detail oriented.
Thank you.
And in this agreement, as Brad mentioned, as of January 1st, 2022, it will have a fair market value of $16,450,000. So their intent is to have it completed by then, I'm sure.
Yes.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Trevor's not here, but to Trevor and Julie and Brad and everyone who worked on this, thank you very much for your hard work. Item number 12, action regarding public works minutes from November 13th. Mr. Gene.
Sure. So next year, staff is proposing
resurfacing projects, St. Mary Street, the west half of St. Mary Street, Stanton Court, Arbor Lane from Stanton Court to Rosemont, and Garland Street from Webster Avenue to Libel Street. Scope of work would include mill and resurfacing of some streets, removal and replacement of defective curb and gutter on St. Mary Street, via rehabilitation, come in and move, remove the asphalt pavement, full depth, spot repair to curb and gutter, could be some spot repair to failing underground utilities, we can see on that. We're looking to award this work through two contracts, one that we would advertise early in January, and the second sometime after we've got the signed state municipal agreement for Arbor and Stanton Court. We had received the Albert Fund, the name on $52,000, and cannot advertise the project until after we have a signed state municipal agreement. So I'd like a motion to proceed with the streets as previously outlined.
Do I have a motion on this item, Trustee Green?
Move to approve streets as outlined.
Do I have a second? Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. 12B.
As Julie has already mentioned, the cash flow in the water utility is not sustainable. 2020, we're proposing a 3% simplified rate case increase. And Julie, do you have any thoughts on that?
Not unless there's questions. I mean, water utility is regulated by the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin. They set our rates. We've got two options, on the simplified or on the full rate increase.
And so that impact to an average residential owner would be?
Oh, it's a little over $1 a month. It affects the volume charges, not the fixed charges, which are the meters. And we're looking at an additional $100,000 or something like that, which when you scale it back a little bit, because it's actually going to take effect with the February meetings. So I'm missing a couple months.
Okay. Trustee Harris.
And if I'm reading everything properly, Julie, and I apologize for not asking about this sooner, this would be a 3% increase, and the most recent increase was March of 16. So we're looking at a 3% increase over the 4 years, over the 4 year period. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other discussion or questions for him? Okay, I'll accept the motion on this item.
Move to approve.
Trustee Sampson, do I have a second? Trustee Atwood, any discussion? We have a motion to approve the simplified rate case in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item 12C, Green Avenue Multimodal Local Supplement.
The DOT this fall came up with a $75 million grant, one-time grant program. The name of the grant program is Multimodal Local Supplement. We met initially to talk about potential projects. The staff we had elected to pursue Green Avenue. And the scope of this project would include installation of rapid flashing beacon at Green and Webster. And it would include the reconstruction of Green from Libel East to East River. The work would include removal and replacement of the underground utilities, construction of sidewalk on the south side to fill in the gap that we currently have, add connectivity to the sidewalk on Green Avenue. It would come, link Heritage State Park to Green Island Park. If we're fortunate enough to get the grant, is a 90-10% cost share. And
we're the 10, right?
What, 90-10?
We're the 10.
So?
Yes, yeah. I guess I'm looking for your support to move ahead with this smell and the grant application for Green Avenue.
We have a motion on this item.
Move to approve.
Trustee Atwood, seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 13, discussion regarding nuisance premises. Trustee Green.
We have Mike here tonight who can explain quite a bit about what he's running into, as well as modeling it after the DEO nuisance premises ordinance.
Okay.
Modeling it after what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Oh, our DEOs can enforce a nuisance premises, so modeling it much the same way, but with different codes.
Thank you.
You're on, Mike.
What this is the Rep enforcement officer and our law enforcement have a nuisance ordinance where our officers have to go to a residence three or more times that they can deem that a nuisance residence and notify them. And if after that they need to continue to go back there, they can charge them for the officer's hours or mileage. We have 5 to 6 residents right now in the village that under, if that code was also for the direct enforcement, we would have 5 nuisance residents in the village. At this point, we don't have anything for the code enforcement officer or things to enforce that. So what we're asking is mainly where I wrote up, and I believe you have with you, would be attached to the nuisance ordinance for the law enforcement and just added as a notice B. And above that, on S, it shows the codes that I normally have to enforce for nuisances.
No.
And those would be the codes that we could use, the same as the law enforcement has a list of the laws that they can enforce it on. What it mainly does is the same thing. It's a tool. You can use it. You don't have to use it, but it's there in case it's needed. If I have to go back to a residence 4 or 5 times, different warnings, different times with letters, citations, things like this, it becomes costly, it becomes time-consuming, and it takes away from other duties. So we're hoping that once we hit this, we can address it to the owner, their tenant, any owner, and once they realize that from now on, if they don't comply, that there could be a further fine or charge for what they're doing in the house. And again, it's the same as with the law enforcement. It doesn't have to be used. It's more of a common sense type thing at the period, but we do have it if we need it.
And that's on top of any fines that they would be paying already for the violation of the code.
Correct. And again, the 3 violations do not have to be violations. It could be warnings, letters that are sent to them, things that we are addressing to one resident 3 times in 1 year. And so that we're going back, we have homes now that I've been there 5, 6 times, the times I've had to take direct enforcement officer with me, which is number tying up 2 different people to get some of this stuff done.
Okay. Trustee Green, anything else?
It's just, these are our problem properties that require an inordinate amount of time. These are not your normal residents. These are the ones that are constantly causing issues. So we need a better mechanism to be able to deal with those. And just so you know, we don't have that up here. So we'll bring that back to next. We don't have that up here, but it was a discussion item only to make sure that you know, what we all think regarding that. Because bikes run into residents, certain, and there's only a few of them. But it's the time and time again, like the police deal with, when it's the time and time again, and they're using up an inordinate amount of village resources to deal with issues.
Are these people that are doing that, they get maybe a citation, and are they paying those? Because if we just have more fines and they're not paying the ones, I mean, how do we get them to pay these? Is there something, what I'm thinking is, if one of the nuisance properties, they're not paying their fines and they're not doing anything about it, so then we say, well, you're going to be billed for our time or this and that. What avenue do we have to collect that money?
I believe it would be the same as we do on our service charges or anything else. For the fines themselves, the court can go through their taxes and get it from their tax revenue from the year, next year. With our service charges, when we pick something up, if they don't pay it, it goes in the tax bill. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, saying there are avenues to collect it if we need be. And those are all things that happen after we find out what the situation is and the bill. So our first thing is to, most of the time you're going to have somebody in court at least once or something. Those things that said the courts take care of, and they get their money for that. The rest of ours, we bill them, and it goes through taxes to collect.
Thank you.
And other communities have these types of charges? Neighboring communities, or?
Nuisance ordinances, yes.
That makes sense. I mean, certainly it's just a waste of time to go to somebody's place over and over, and you don't do anything. Will it work?
So we have to identify, we have to define what a nuisance property is. That would be in the ordinance.
What we end up with properties that, or a property that might fall under this category, is the neighbors are calling and wanting us to do something. And, you know, it only can get so far because of Mike's inability to declare it as a public nuisance, and you certainly don't want to keep calling the DEO officer off other things to come over to address it. It could expedite the problem. And typically these nuisance properties come to us through the neighbors. And it's not we're out looking for these. It's the calls that Mike receives that triggers this ongoing dialogue with the tenant and or landlord. And some of them do last a long time.
And ultimately, the goal is to make the property not a nuisance property.
Absolutely. Right. That's the goal. Yeah.
So do some sample ordinances also involve something other than financial penalty for that? Are there other opportunities for improving the situation?
Ours doesn't with the directed enforcement officer. It's financial penalties, but like we have a clause in there that if the homeowner, because some of our issued properties are with the tenants.
Right.
This way, if the homeowner initiates it, you know, we can start dealing with the tenants instead of the homeowner, especially if the tenants are the ones causing the issue versus the homeowner causing the issue. So those type of things are in there. I haven't seen one where anything's built in besides monetary penalties. Have you, Mike, or?
Because quite honestly, if I'm a renter, and you throw it on my tax bill,
you're not gonna care.
I don't care. And if it is the owner and it gets thrown on their tax bill, they're going to increase the rent. So does that actually fix the problem is my question.
Well, I think in that particular case, the landlord would take it from the security deposit. Any assessment on that? I honestly, I think it stems sometimes. Some the root of it is probably an educational thing, and it's too bad that there isn't some sort of class that you can mandate that they would go to
stuff like that,
to educate them on why. You know, a good neighbor class. You know, I don't.
You know, just very good at doing things like
I'm
that.
Sure. That's kind of what I was getting at.
Yeah.
Jason?
At least for the DDO criminal criteria and everything else, we call them in and have a meeting with them, and I try to get a letter. I'm telling me how they're going to prevent the criminal activity that I have listed. You would have a different criteria of what's going on. I try to talk to them and, you know, try to get, why is this occurring? I need a letter telling me how you're going to prevent it and everything else. That would almost be almost that
action plan.
That action plan where you're
kind of like
trying
that.
To teach them, these are the laws, this is what's listed, these criteria cannot happen, you know.
Break it down.
Disturbances, you know, for me, that, you know, all that.
Yep.
But that would be the education portion with the court officer, then call them in, bring them in, tell them these are the issues. How are you going to prevent these? I need that in writing. So if it would end up in a citation, you just show the judge, they told me this on this date. After that date didn't occur, that's kind of the judge's issue. You know what I mean? If they're going to fight that citation, then you give them their nuisance activity.
Help me out here. What are we talking about? When you say criminal, are you talking disorderly conduct? Because they're having fights and noise
or on my end for nuisance property, I've got a list A through, I think, J. And it covers
what is most typical? If we have five
disturbances, drug activity, stuff like that. On my end, Mike's end would be parking on grass or whatever criteria that would be.
Yeah, on his end, he's got indecent exposure, prostitution, theft, two seen and stolen property, arson, disorderly conduct, harassment. It goes all the way down to fuel, misuse of emergency phone numbers, trespassing, things like that for them. For me, it would be stuff. We get complaints of garbage all over, grass.
Well, I think in your case, Mike, it'd be anything that's in violation of code.
Anything that's in violation of that we have that I receive complaints on.
But most often, it'd be garbage on the property or cars parked where they're not supposed to be.
Yeah, we have them parked, you know, disabled vehicles all over the yard, you know, in the driveway. In the winter, it's already started with sidewalks not being shoveled. You know, I've gotten three complaints of one snowstorm already. Things like that, you need to continue to go back. Just so you, under my policy for myself when I'm working with you, if it's a tenant that I am having a problem with, they get a letter, and also a letter goes out to the owner notifying what's going on with their tenants. A lot of times the owners don't know what's going on, and I get a lot of feedback from them. You know, it's gone from, I'll definitely take care of it, or they're out of there. They don't want this against them when it comes down to looking at the village, and, you know, and they've got a residence in our village and it's causing problems. They don't want that put on them. So they do get a lot of help. I can get a lot of help from owners once I notify them. And again, same thing in this ordinance that we have, which I pretty much just attached and changed some of the wording. It's the same thing. They get a letter, we talk to them, we have to, you know, contact them and advise them that it's an ordinance nuisance. And again, it's being notified both the tenant and the owner what's going on.
Okay.
So, it's not a thing where you just send them a letter in the mail and say, you're an ordinance, you're a nuisance. We need to go talk to them, explain to them, and see what's going on.
And right now we're dealing with approximately five properties like that? Okay. I'm not opposed to finding ways to help enforce our code and our policies. I would, you know, the education part I think is important. I'd be skeptical about just adding fines because that's not necessarily resolving the problem. So anything we do, I think we should make sure that it's focused on fixing the problem.
I do like that idea, though, that if somebody has been cited once or twice, I don't know what that limit is. It's in a discussion, you know, phase right now, but to have that person draft up a letter as to what are you going to do to correct these problems and submit it to us. Now we've got accountability.
And acknowledgement.
And acknowledgement, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. It's really unfortunate that what you deal with on a daily basis is common sense, and it's just not so common with some people.
Okay. So does that, Trustee Sampson, did you have something?
No,
it looks like you were close.
I was close. Whether we have the ability to charge back or whether that's not allowed under the taxation laws, whether we have, you get a certain number of free ones, and after the 10th call, you're going to start getting a bill for it. I guess that's built in with the ordinance violation and the charge. Whether there's some way to move the landlord in. These aren't owner-occupied. These are rentals.
Oh, some of them can be.
I think some of them
can be.
Yeah.
Okay. In any event, you're dealing with both landlords and owners.
Well, I think it probably makes sense to at least investigate that and bring it onto another agenda with some recommendations. Any other thoughts on that? Okay. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Item number 14, future agenda items. Is there anything anyone would like to see on a future agenda?
I would like to see this nuisance continue to come up.
Okay.
If it becomes redundant, maybe move it to every other meeting, but for right now, let's keep it on every agenda for discussion.
Well, we can put it on the next one, and hopefully, or on one when staff is ready to present us with some recommendations.
Right now, Alloway does not have some kind of classification as a nuisance property, some kind of status that we assign. And there are other municipalities
who
do that.
We do from the code enforcement, from the criminal.
The criminal aspect of it.
The
code aspect, no.
Okay.
That's why I'm looking at modeling it after what the DEO does with these type of properties.
Oh, okay, now it's
following. Yeah, because all those nuisance properties wind up in DEO Vogel's hands from the criminal end. And so that way it would give Mike the same latitude from a code enforcement end.
Right. The county DA has the ability to have something legally declared a nuisance property, and that means something. But if the code, we don't have a classification to deal separately with problem properties.
And it's another tool in their hands to get compliance. And they're very few, but boy, they eat up a ton of time.
Yeah.
Okie doke. Any other items we'd like to see on a future agenda?
Maybe cats and dogs.
I was waiting for somebody to bring that up.
Okay. Cats and dogs. How about bees? Okay. Duly noted. Thank you. Anything else we'd like to see on a future agenda? Hearing none, I'll accept the motion to adjourn. Trustee Sampson, seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. We have a new budget, and we have a...